only figures, but it goes to show that basically a more expensive surface becomes cheaper in the end if you use it more per hour, if there's a need for more use. I guess this sums it up.
Thank you very much, Marc. Merci beaucoup. We will now move into the next phase of our consultation, which is to invite persons and organizations which have submitted briefs to Westmount to come forward to the Tribune and to present your briefs. A couple of remarks about the briefs. Each presentation is to be limited to 5 minutes. There is a timer in the front row who has a yellow card, which will be flashed if you have 2 minutes left. I guess in keeping with soccer, we have yellow and red cards. And when your time is up, a red card will be flashed. If you exceed your time, I will descend from the Tribune and usher you out the front door. No, not really. Our first brief this evening will be from Patrick Barnard, who is from the organization Save the Park. Mr. Barnard, would you like to come forward?
As an old radio journalist, I'm going to test the machinery. I'm not being timed if I test the machinery, am I? Good. And just a little preliminary remark. I would like to thank Mayor Marks, and I would like to thank the council for making this occasion possible. It's very important because it has happened in many places in North America. In Menlo Park, for example, it was instrumental in affecting events there. And the debate that we're going to have tonight is going to happen all over North America very rapidly, and I'm going to explain at the end of my talk why I think that is so. I might be wrong. I'm an old journalist. Old journalists don't die. They just talk forever. So, ladies and gentlemen, and Mr. Chair, I'm going to start talking, and I have my little timer just in case the men with the cards are a bit too enthusiastic. So off we go, gents. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a great pleasure to be here. I live at 251 Melville, and that's important to me, and it will be important in what I have to say. Please do not be offended. It is often the case that a technical view of a social problem is unfortunately deeply naive. Often people come in with abstract plans, and they betray a lack of knowledge of the place that they are designing for. I think there are many people here who have read your reports 3 or 4 times over. I know the photo report back to front, but I'm not going to comment on it now. What I will talk about is this place, which I know very, very well. I live on Melville Avenue. I look at this park every day of my life. I look out the window, and what I see is a free, open, democratic, public, multi-purpose space. It was designed this way. It follows certain principles, the principles of Olmsted, of course. He was the inspiration for this park. That is his philosophy. That is what these fields are. I see Westmount Park School. I see the children come out. I see them play. They come from all over the world. They're the new Canada. They come from Point St. Charles. They come from St. Henry. And they have this spontaneous freedom about them that's lovely. I see the kids from Narnia. I see the soccer program. Of course, they're playing there right now. I see their parents. I see the kite flyers. I see the people talking. It's a Walt Whitman-esque scene that I see, and I'm not joking. And someone, I think, is going to read Whitman tonight. Now, this is very interesting because the vocation of the field was set in 1910 when council, in its wisdom, spent $5.5 million in today's money to purchase those fields because already the park was popular. It was suffering from ecological stress, and council in 1910 set out to expand the green space that would be available to all of us. And every time they purchased a small strip of land, they said, we are purchasing this, quote, for the purpose of a public park, unquote. Not for a specialized area, but for a general area. Now, it's a lovely place. It's a beautiful place, even in its present state of neglect. I'm going to speak to one option because that's the most dramatic contrast. I teach Shakespeare. Shakespeare loves contrast. I'm going to speak to the synthetic surface option. If that were to be put into place, what I've just described to you would become a specialized area. It's sometimes called the new sports area, kind of sportsplex. In order to recover the capital costs, there would have to be a very high rental. And in a sense, in my view anyway, the space would become semi-commercialized. Now, it is a very rich social space. It is also a very rich ecological space. Later on tonight, you will see satellite photos, and you will see that these fields are blue in infrared camera work. The Forbes field and the Loyola field that everyone praises, people like them for their own reasons, but they are hot. Those fields are hot, and they go up to, in fact, the temperatures which approach the 44 centigrade, which is when human skin may burn. The difference is 20 degrees centigrade between our fields and the specialized fields there. Now, I'm going to talk about a final point, and I'm going to lead into that by talking about synthetic turf, and I have about a minute and a half to go. There's a new generation of synthetic turf. It has many, many advantages, but it's made from recycled rubber tires. A typical field of this sort has 30,000 recycled rubber tires in the form of rubber pellets. This material is so toxic that it poses a great, great burden on the city that has to get rid of that material when a field outlives its use. Monsieur Fauteuil himself pointed out in his report the enormous problem of this toxicity on the bottom of page 8. And, of course, in the famous page 9, he gave the synthetic turf option his lowest possible ranking for environmental value, 1 out of 10. Ladies and gentlemen, I think Westmount deserves better than 1 out of 10. Finally, I'm going to stop at 5 minutes, just as I was asked to. Coming out of New York, I'm an old New Yorker, and there's some kids in New York. And they're in the public advocate's office. And I want to tell you about these kids because I know them. I know Phil. I know Christina. And they want to test this stuff because the new stuff has been put in and no one's tested it. And that's coming out of New York. It's a new wave. Imagine if we can tell the people who come to the super hospital, you can come to Westmount. It's a synthetic-free zone. You don't have to worry about that. It's coming down the highway and it's called testing, my friends. Bravo.
Thank you very much. Our next submission is from Marilyn Gillies.
Instead of changing the fields in Westmount Park to plastic, I propose that we work on better maintenance of them. I'm going to use Francois Hébert's report, which evaluated the state of the fields in Westmount Park, to consider park maintenance and give some suggestions for change. First, his report cited high usage numbers given to him by the city, 72 hours a week. That figure represents over 10 hours daily use every day of the week, Monday through Sunday. Who is playing during these 10 hours a day? We know that there is no summer soccer program in Westmount, and there is no fall soccer program anymore due to a lack of demand on the part of both parents and children. People who live around the park know that these numbers are not correct. However, along with the high numbers, Monsieur Hébert highlights difficult growing conditions due to bad drainage and compacted soils. Here are some maintenance problems and some suggestions for change. First, the soil. The north field along Melville, the one that is going to be closed to sports, was built using a manufactured soil consisting of a mix of sand and peat. This type of material, Mr. Hébert says, is used in high-level sports surface constructions. The sandy soil in the south playing fields is made of fine particles not suitable for high-usage areas. He says that this soil cannot be expected to rival a manufactured soil designed specifically for the construction of sports surfaces. In other words, the soil in the south fields cannot match the soil in the north field. I suggest that the same material used on the north field be placed in the south fields. The southern field's drainage system consists, as Mr. Hebert said, of sand-filled 3-inch wide slits that run across the fields. Water drains down the slits into drainage pipes below. And as he said tonight, I guess it's supposed to be an excellent system, but in his report he describes it as being very delicate, since it can easily be disrupted by excessive wear as well as repair and maintenance operations, like driving over the field in big machinery when it's wet. I suggest that the slit drainage system be changed to one that is not so delicate. The surface slope of the southern fields is a 0.85% slope running lengthwise, which Hebert says is very weak to move surface water in an effective manner. The main north field along Melville Avenue has a steeper slope of 1.24% running from the center to the sides, which Monsieur Hebert says ensures adequate water movement. We should change the slope on the southern fields to be more effective in moving water like the one on the north field. Mr. Hebert makes the irrigation system put in by the city sound dreadful. Basically, he says the system is complicated, expensive, malfunctioning, difficult to use, in fact, completely dysfunctional. The sprinklers, for example, are such a problem that he suggests Westmount decide on a specific irrigation manufacturer and sprinkler model and insist that the contractor hired to ensure maintenance of the system use these products. To be really sure, he says that Westmount could even supply the contractor with the sprinklers. My suggestion would be to follow this advice or put in a less complicated system of irrigation. Mr. Hebert says that if the field is to be used as a multi-purpose space, and if soccer is but one of the activities, the permanent goal should be removed when maintenance is done, so that soccer play does not disrupt the newly repaired surfaces. I would say, let's do this. He noted tire tracks in the bare areas and other damage caused by improper maintenance practices. All of us have seen these large tire tracks, not only on the bare spots, but on the wet grass. Monsieur Hebert says that it is important not to drive on damp, waterlogged soil. This kind of vehicle driving has devastating effect on the delicate drainage system. This careless driving also causes destruction of the soil surface and problems associated with soil compaction. Maintenance must be done properly. For repair, he recommends sodding, not reseeding, because reseeding takes time to germinate, and this means longer closure of the fields. We should consider resodding the fields, even if it's only in the high usage areas. There are numerous other improper maintenance practices listed, which I don't have time to cover in 5 minutes. But to summarize, the fields should be well maintained instead of being neglected as they are now. If we value these fields and maintain them well, we will not need to think of losing them to synthetic turf. Thank you.
Thank you. Our third brief presenter is Debbie Beitel.
Resident at 120 Abbott Avenue. I've been living in Westmount for almost 24 years. For the past 9 years, I've taught at Westmount Park School. Over the last 5 years or more, I've noticed a big deterioration in the condition of the grass in front of the school. Every year, our students have been banned from the grass for at least 6 to 8 weeks. This causes fighting from a lack of space and accidents from children running into each other. The children just want to play tag, basketball, soccer, and football, but are denied this right from a lack of space. Although I understand that Westmount needs to fence us out to help maintain the condition of the field, it does create problems at our school. Each year, a hurricane fence is erected as soon as the snow melts. This past year, it was only put up on the south side of the park, blocking us out. We were asked to keep the children off the grass and mud until May 7th. Like any citizen who cares about the environment and green spaces, my obvious choice would be natural turf. However, the natural turf does not grow with all the use from the 1,000 soccer players from the city, the children from our school, and other residents who use the field in the off hours. The artificial field turf project would be good for our school and the soccer players. It means that soccer can begin as soon as the snow melts, and the students from Westmount Park School never have to be fenced out. Gives the children more time to run and exercise, which is very important for the development, especially in a time when childhood obesity is on the rise and children spend far too much time indoors watching TV and playing video games. I have read a suggestion by someone who is against the artificial turf that the city should only begin their soccer program in the fall and give the field more chance to recover in April, May. We need to encourage children to play outdoors as much as possible. Reducing access limits that possibility. There are at least 8 teachers at Westmount Park School who are in favor of the artificial turf project. I do have some concerns and questions with regard to environmental safety. Are the disinfectants used to clean up the turf safe? I've recently spoken to Marvin Cooper from Sports and Recreation at Concordia University, where they have the Loyola artificial turf. And he told me that the dog and cat droppings are easier to clean on artificial turf because it stays on top, whereas it seeps into natural turf. Another concern are the rubber pellets used for the infill. Are they safe? Another concern I have is with the temperature of the synthetic turf. I have read that the temperature of the field turf can go as high as 150 Fahrenheit on a 28 to 30 degrees Celsius day. Watering the field does help, and I understand that Westmount will keep the sprinkler system that is already in place for this reason. I'm interested to hear what the environment